what you've hopefully seen by now is that we're trying to figure out when night is, and it's important for at least two broad categories of issues. That we want to know when does the day transition into a different day, because what day it is on the calendar or what day of the week it is, either one, same related kind of issue, whether it's Friday or Shabbos or whether it's Pesach or not, things like that have humongous implications l'halacha, or when a bris is, if it's the seventh day versus the eighth day, will have huge implications. So what day on the calendar it is makes a very, very big difference. And also whether it's day or night makes a difference of day or night. So these two separate issues both have to be determined, and they may be determined by the same standard, they may not, we're not sure. But either way, we have to figure out when does it become night. And it seems clear, both halachically and astronomically, both Jewishly and non-Jewishly, that nightening is a process, that it's not something that just happens like that, despite the fact that there is one opinion in the Gemara that Ben HaShemashos is Kaharifayim. But it seems more likely to be the case that Ben HaShemashos is a process, that at one point it is day and eventually it is night, but there is a twilight zone in the middle, and that has to be reckoned with. So, to spend a minute on that we didn't talk about yesterday, so to appreciate the fact that that time in the middle is treated as a suffix, and we did say that, here again, to go outside of halacha, there's a mystery that's associated with that twilight zone, and that itself has taken on its own connotations. Halachically, it may also be true that it has a unique kind of mystery status. We treat it as a suffix, and I don't think I gave you a makoros about this. Maybe I should add makoros. Maybe for tomorrow I'll give you additional makoros to look at. It's very significant that we treat Ben HaShemashos as a suffix, and when we say a suffix, we may mean kind of a mega suffix, a suffix in more than the usual sense. So we don't know if it's day or night. And what do we mean by that? So it doesn't necessarily mean that it's either day or night and we don't know which. It may mean more that it's inherently undefinable. So you'll see, if you give Ricardo's to look, there's a Ritva that sounds like that, and there's maybe a Maharal that sounds like that. And that's itself interesting, and that kind of contributes to how one can see it as inherently mysterious. And there was a Yid by the name of Rod Serling who maybe was influenced by this Ritva, in that he could understand there to be the Ritva in Yuma has a comment that Ben HaShemashos is not either day or night, but that it's inherently undefinable. And the idea that there is something mysterious by its very nature of the twilight zone, that it is suffix in essence, is perhaps what contributed to it being borrowed for this purpose, that it should be taken to reflect mystery. But as a matter of practice, the point is that we treat Ben HaShemashos as a suffix, and that has implications. And maybe we'll come back to the fact that the nature of the suffix, whether it's either day or night, or indefinable as neither day or night, that may have its own nafkaminas. Maybe we'll come back to that. But at least it means we don't know. So that's why, for example, we say Shabbos is 25 hours. Why is it 25 hours? What kind of unit of time is 25 hours? It means that it's roughly 25 hours because we have to be machmir for the suffix of Ben HaShemashos. So since Shabbos is Min HaTorah, and we have to factor in the Sveikos. So since the time of Ben HaShemashos, as we will see now, we treat it as roughly an hour, although it's not exactly that, but it's roughly an hour. So if we're going to be machmir for it, so on Friday, the beginning of it, we'll start at the beginning. We'll start Shabbos at the beginning of Ben HaShemashos, and we'll end Motzi Shabbos at the end of it, so it'll end up that the whole time of Shabbos is going to be close to 25 hours. But that is a very rough estimate because, as we'll see from discussing the sugya, that the timing is a very, very much being approximated by calling it 25 hours. Could be less than 25 hours, and for some people of a brisker orientation, it could be significantly more than 25 hours. But that's basically connected to the sugya. Exactly how long your Shabbos is connected to how you assess the sugya, but it's because of the nature of the suffix, of the twilight zone, of how exactly you assess the question of Ben Hashmashel. So a question about that, Caleb?
If you're in Iceland, you might get lucky enough to have 26 or 27 hours.
Right, so exactly, the question could be longer, and it has to do also with the time of year and where you are in the world.
But in Antarctica.
So there may be also places in the world where it may be much greater. So there are a lot of variables here. Where you are in the world, what time of the year it is, what your shitas are. There are a lot of moving parts to this, and that itself is going to play a role. So Shabbos starts off 24 hours plus. How much plus is going to have to do with the adjudication of this question of how long Bein Hashmashos is. So the process of turning from day to night is at issue here, is how long is that process. So the Gemara has, in two different places at least, one in Shabbos and one in Pesachim, if you saw those two places, two different statements from Rabbi Yehuda as to how long Bein Hashmashos is. Right, we have Rabbi Yossi's opinion that Bein Hashmashos is clarified, but Rabbi Yehuda's opinion is that it's longer. The question is, what is his opinion? Because there are two different statements. So just also to appreciate, if we say we don't know when night is, the suffix comes from a lot of different places because our watches may not be accurate. So if we said night was 6:03, we don't really know when 6:03 is. But let's say we have an atomic clock from the Naval Observatory and whatever. Okay, we were confident when 6:03 was. But what is 6:03? So we need to know a bunch of other things. So we don't know whether night starts at Shkia or at Seis. But even if we did, we don't know when Shkia is. That's going to be itself subject to debate. So the Safek is about a bunch of things. So the Gemara's Safek is whether night is Shkia or at Seis or any point in between. That's the suffix in the Gemara. When is Shkia, as we'll see, is a suffix in the Rishonim. And therefore, when is Seis is maybe a suffix, because there's some correlation between Shkia and Seis. But what that correlation is going to be dependent on how long Bein Hashmashos is. And then you could have a suffix of whether your watch is accurate. So there's basically at least three points that you could have a suffix about. Follow? So just to restate that, right? The general suffix that always exists as to what point along the spectrum night begins. Right? So the Gemara already tells us that there's this range of Shkia Tzitzis. That's already a suffix. So we know that that creates its own ambiguity. But among Poskim, coming from Rishonim all the way down to our era, there is a suffix as to when those markers are, when Shkia is and when Seis is. So that's another strata of suffix on top of that. And then your watch may be wrong. So that's another level of suffix on top of that. Okay, yeah.
It's really a suffix because nowadays we have like time, like we have like clocks,
and therefore
as in like in times of the Gemara where there's very little electricity and there was no systemized clock zero, like wouldn't it be just Shkia? Okay, you could daven mincha before the sun goes down, and when you see stars, okay, now I could.
But what is your clock? What does your what clock do for now? It happens to be fascinating. It's worth reading. Robert Johnson wrote a book about this, where he talks about six things that were invented relatively recently, and one of them is time. I forgot the title of the book, but that's the theme of it. I think Robert Johnson, the name of the author, and it's about six things like that. I'm sure somebody will have Googled it by the time I finish the sentence. Not that anyone has computers open. But so cold was another one. cold and time, those were two of the things. And you know, you'd be pretty shocked at how recently these things were invented. So basically, as late as the 1800s,
right,
it was very hard to have coordinated clocks in the world. So to know
how we got to now,
that is very just
Stephen Johnson.
Stephen Johnson. Okay, yeah, so Stephen Johnson. Again, you're just guessing because nobody has computers open. So, so Stephen Johnson, thank you. So, how we got to now? So, it's about six things I think in the book. So, one of them is time. So, as late as the 1800s and maybe even into the 1900s, coordinated clocks were not a thing. But even now that we have that, but why should we say that? Okay, so we can all tell when 6:23 is. But why should 6:23 be the marker? It's still going to be correlated to something else. And the question, what should that be? So that itself is a total history. But it gives you an appreciation. If you read that book, give you an appreciation for why historically it wouldn't have been a number on the clock. You know, that was not a useful fact. Now, right, is there any reason why it should ever have been that or now it should be that? Not necessarily, because what's the significance of 6:23 or any other number or midnight or anything else? But certainly, historically, we understand why that wouldn't have been a meaningful thing. Doesn't mean that now it is a meaningful thing. But certainly, historically, it's not. Hi.
I mean, you could also ask that question on, let's say, the funeral of three stars or other such situations where is that the actual fundamental thing, or is it something else that indicates it?
Yes, and this, by the way, if you learn Pesachim, so the first daf from Pesachim, so the Gemara has a language like that, and Rabbi Chanan, maybe I should also put this on the Makaros, this is also useful in Makar, so maybe I'll give this to look at tomorrow. There is a Chakir Rabbi Chanan has in the first daf from Pesachim about that. And maybe I'll scan it if I remember to. There is a fancy edition of the Rabbi Chanan, the Kovet Shirim, Pesachim, that has long footnotes and has a long discussion about that, and maybe I will try to make a picture of that for you tomorrow to take a look at. So he has essentially that chakir in the beginning of Pesachim about whether that's what the first Mishnah in Pesachim was about, or Orla Abasa, and about whether the three stars is a simon or a siva. Right. Essentially, does that mean that it is the time, or it is a reflection of the time? So it all relates to this.
Right.
So in any event, so just to appreciate, if we say we don't know when night is, halachically, you have the suffix on three levels. It's a suffix in Mitzias that the Gemara talks about. The Gemara says Bein HaShemashos is inherently a suffix. And there's a machlokas already what that means. Does that mean that it's we don't know if it's day or night? Or it's inherently indefinable? It's neither day or night. It's a transitionary time that does not have the properties of either. So that's level one. But on top of that, there is another machlokas when those times are, when Shkia and Seis is, and that's a machlokas in Psak, a machlokas in Rishonim and Achronim, which is imposed on the already existing suffix of Bein HaShemashos. And then there's the inaccuracy of even knowing when these times are, because before at least 100 years ago, we didn't have watches to begin with. Okay. So with that, now what does the Gemara say about Bein HaShemashos and Rabbi Yehuda? So somebody help me out. The Gemara in Shabbos and the Gemara in Pesachim, what do they tell us? And actually, we should go, let's go for another 2 or 3 minutes. So what does the Gemara say? Right, how long is, and you're going
to, right, two-thirds of a mil or four mil?
Close. So
three-quarters of a mil.
Three-quarters of a mil or 4 mil, right?
Okay,
so,
fine.
Right, so according to one Gemara, according to the Gemara in Shabbos, it's what? Three-quarters of a mil. And according to Gemara in Pesachim, it's 4 mil. Now that is a pretty big difference, right? That's a difference of an order of magnitude. So that discrepancy has to be accounted for. Now, guess what? We get to introduce yet another level of suffix, which has a major implication in the calculations. What is that? What else needs to be determined here? It was just introduced in conversation.
How long does it actually take to walk?
Well, yeah, you're almost there.
How long does it take to walk a mill?
Yeah, well, what's a mill? Right, so a mill means the distance.
Well, how long a mill is 2,000 hours.
So what does it mean time-wise?
Yeah.
Right, so what is a mill time-wise? So that is itself a big Shiloh. So converting a mill, which is a unit of distance, to a unit of time is a big question. So that is another degree of suffix that is inserted into this issue. So now, on top of everything else, we have something else to fight about. And this also impacts the Brisker element of this issue. Because even if you want to paskin like Rabbeinu Tam, we haven't mentioned who says what yet, but you want to paskin like Rabbeinu Tam, the Gaonim, whoever, and say, well, I think you should wait 3/4 mil, you should wait 4 mil, whatever it is, you also have to answer, what's a mil? And a mil could be 18 minutes, a mil could be 22 and a half minutes, maybe a mil could even be more than that. So it's often assumed that a mil is 18 minutes, but that may be highly questionable. So for now, just for our minute that we have, so let's assume that a mil is 18 minutes, although that is not at all a unquestionable assumption. So if a mil is 18 minutes, and our two choices are 3/4 of a mil or 4 mil, so then what are our two choices for Ben Hashmashos?
So,
right, either 72 minutes, that's a bigger number, or
16?
No. So any math majors here? 13 and a half. 13 and a half minutes. Right, so that's a very big disparity. So which is it, right? So is Ben Hashmashos a relatively short process of 13 and a half minutes, or is it 72 minutes, which is much, much longer? Yeah?
To repeat that, that's 3/4 of a meal versus 4 meal?
Yeah. So according to one Gemara, Gorim Psachim seems to indicate that Ben Hashmashos is 4 meal, which means that that's the process of darkening, of nightening, that it starts to get dark, the Shkia, the sun starts to set, starts to sink, and then it takes 72 minutes before the sun has totally disappeared, before the stars emerge fully. So is that the case? Yeah?
Again, isn't it Metzias?
Okay, so now a big question is going to be, although that's, we say again, it's, right, not right. Same, it's not the same question we asked before.
Right.
So the question we asked before was, shouldn't we look at our watches? Right? Now, that's a different question, and not as compelling a question as what you're asking now, isn't it Metzias? So we will see tomorrow, I get this point, the issue of how much should looking out the window, rather than looking at our watch, how much should looking at the window factor into things, that's going to be a huge part of the discussion. Caleb?
When you say 13.5 minutes and 72 minutes, I assume we're using New York times?
Not necessarily. Why would you assume that?
Because
you're
the
cover of New York
cheer.
Magazine where the whole...
That's where the current cheer is being given from. I mean, unless we're talking about...
Yes, but that's not where...
Israel
that's
times.
Not where the Talmud was.
There's a difference between how fast... The sun does set, like, Teta Kochavim, to my understanding, and correct me if I'm wrong, Teta Kochavim happens... The time between Shkia and Teta Kochavim is much shorter, significantly shorter in Israel than in New York.
Okay.
Because New York is further
so,
north.
Okay, so then that we'll have to get to tomorrow, but... Not clear why you should assume that it's New York time. So this, we didn't get as far as we wanted to, but we did lay down some foundations. So Be'ez Hashem, as many times as I've said this, we are advanced more than we were. So hopefully tomorrow we will be able to take this further. And let's build on all this and see how far we can get in actually making it to Tzitzis HaKochavim, God willing, tomorrow. All right, so wish everyone a Yom Shuv Kol Tov.